Stella nodded to the lone security guard at the entrance before going inside. Within minutes, she found herself being shown to a seat in a palatial office by one of the most powerful women in the government. The new Home Secretary, Gemma Dowding, in person.
"Welcome to the Home Office,"
she said in the northern accent that made her the darling of the tabloids.
"Thank you, ma'am."
Was that right? Stella realised she had no idea of the protocol for speaking to secretaries of state. Dowding laughed.
"Christ, you make me sound like bloody royalty. Tell you what, you call me Gemma and I'll call you Stella, all right?"
"Sorry."
"Relax, Stella. I know I'm a handful, but what did Maggie Thatcher say? Us girls have to be twice as bolshy as the men to get anywhere near the levers of power on account of not having cock and balls."
"I'm not entirely sure she did say that," Stella said, warming to this tornado in a power suit sitting opposite her.
The Home Secretary shrugged.
"Ah, she might not have said it, but I bet she thought it. Anyway, why have I dragged you all the way from Paddington Green, Nick, to the Home Office? That's probably what you're asking yourself, isn't it?"
"Something like that, yes."
Suddenly, all trace of the Home Secretary's explosive personality vanished. Her face, so recently as animated as a mime's, stilled. She stared at Stella, dark irises as unreadable as invisible ink.
"How was the weather at Beachy Head when you dumped the corpse of that ex-cop you murdered?"
Stella's mind whirled. What was this all about?
"Sunny," she said finally. "Bit cold, but it was quite early in the morning. Probably warmed up later."
"Oh, it warmed up all right. By the time we got a recovery team down there, it smelled worse than the abattoir on Victoria Street where I grew up. God, you could smell the stink of it for bloody miles."
"You're part of it, aren't you?"
"Part of what?"
the Home Secretary asked mildly before taking a sip of her coffee.
"PPM?"
She smiled.
"What, that bunch of Tory boys running death squads inside the Met? Hardly."
So she knew about PPM. Stella didn't know whether this made her more frightened or less.
"Then what?"
"In case you don't watch the news, thanks to the latest revelations about his so-called private life, our current leader's support in the party is thinner than a horse G-string. He'll be a toast by the end of the month. And guess who's the bookies' favourite to become Britain's next female Prime Minister? But for that joyous day to arrive, I needed a nice clean run at it. Any whiff of impropriety from the department I head would sink me faster than the Belgrano, to give you another Maggie reference."
"I've no interest in giving PPM any more publicity."
"So you say. But I need to be sure you don't have a change of heart and decide to release your little insurance policy into the wider world."
"You know about that?"
"I know about everything."
Dowding's lips curved into the faintest and coldest of smiles.
"Your days of making threats are all in the past, pet. But mine are only just coming into season. And here's me first. You even think of spilling your guts about PPM or this conversation, and Elle will be shopping for a nice black dress. Do I make myself clear?"
Struggling to breathe, Stella choked out a yes. If that was the price of the girl's safety, she could cope. She had no more interest in talking about PPM than did the Home Secretary. Dowding clapped her hands together, a sharp pop in the suddenly airless room.
"Grand. Now, I think an officer of your calibre has so much more to give than just solving homicides," she said in the enthusiastic tone senior officers used when presenting commendations. "Do you know, I'm constantly being asked by my counterparts abroad to facilitate exchanges between our respective police forces."
Stella's skin felt clammy.
"What are you talking about?"
Dowding carried on as if Stella hadn't spoken.
"In fact, you did such a bang-up job in Sweden with that serial killer, I've arranged for you to enjoy an initial 2-year secondment to the Swedish police authority. We're getting a pursuit driving instructor, which don't seem like much of a deal, but there you go. Beggars can't be choosers, can they?"
"You're sending me into exile?"
Dowding smiled.
"If it helps, you can think of it as projecting Britain's soft power."
Stella sat, stunned into immobility, unable to process what was happening to her. Dowding looked up.
Still here? Coffee's all gone, love. You'd best be making tracks.